So this is Phil Farron, and it is the it's 5 years worth of podcasts. That's what we decided last year. That's what we would call it. 5 years worth of podcasts. It is episode number 260. The whole gang is here. The whole gang is here.
I'm one of the gang. Hello.
Yes, the gang. Hello.
Hello, gang.
So I'm here. My beloved wife is here.
Hello.
My beloved, it would be my beloved son-in-law's mother is here. I got that going right. Clara is here.
Say hello.
Granddaughter.
Hello.
Hello.
Because I was coming with daddy.
Oh, you were coming with daddy. That's right. And my son-in-law is making shish kebabs, and my grandson is very pleased to look at the food and reach for them. And my daughter is here. And then, did I miss anybody?
Hello.
I don't. Am I? Yes.
I think that's everyone.
So we're basically. I'm not prepared at all, but my faithful son-in-law and my daughter have actually prepared. I told them that the topic at hand would be stuff that has transpired in the last 5 years. Because we started the podcast in, I started March 20th-ish, 2009.
Okay, that's what we...
Right. I was trying to remember what in the world we were doing in March 2009 that I even decided to start this podcast.
I don't know. I mean, that was right in the middle when I was doing the children's ministry praise.
Okay. I was trying to remember if I had...
I was a youth pastor.
Your youth pastor.
Have been for a couple of years.
I think I had finished Still Whispers at that point.
Well, that's what I was wondering, is where that fell on the books. What all has been written since then?
Well...
So, but that would have been just after Still Whispers, then you had only done... you had only finished
Sun, the
Wind,
and the
Rain,
Rain
and Still Whispers.
Still Whispers.
Well, no, that made it short. It was between them.
Oh, were they?
Was it?
Well, I think what had happened was...
Is that grape?
What?
No, it's onion.
Onion. We're making shish kebabs. That's what's going on there. So that's...
We're multitasking. That's something that's happened in the last five years. We've had kids.
That's right. Everything has changed. That's right. Well, I was trying to remember because I think the writing stuff started again with Grumpy Old Prophets. That was the first.
Because
it was small.
I was telling Alan, I remember sitting in the living room of our other little house on our couch, flipping, because it was like a rush.
We were trying
to get it done for Christmas or
trying
something.
Trying to get it done for Christmas.
So it was a speed job. We were just trying to get it beta read
real
quick.
So that would have had to been, I think, Christmas of 2007. There may be random bumps and jiggles as well.
Yeah, let's try not to hit the blue table.
It's fine, because it's like on a thing. So I think that was 2007, Christmas of 2007. And then Christmas of 2008 probably was Still Whispers at that point. And then Christmas of 2009 would have been That Faded Shore.
Okay, so
the book that very few people enjoyed.
Enjoyed is a...
I have had a couple of people since then write me and say, that's the book I love the most.
Really?
Yes.
I really like it. I mean, I think that's, you know...
You can't go into it expecting an enjoyable book.
No!
Well, it's more like high literature, you know? It's not really like something to be enjoyed. It's something to be experienced.
I don't know.
I definitely experienced that book well.
See, I would have, after I got a Grumpy Old Prophets done, I would have gone back and worked on That Faded Shore, but there were so many people who just didn't like it. They asked me when I did beta reading, they just said, what was the point of this book? They didn't get it.
So you went from
I know
Grumpy Old Prophets
to something really spiritual.
Yes, to That Faded Shore.
Yeah, That Faded Shore. So, yeah. So, anyway, so that would have been 2009, and then 2010.
When you launched into the...
What was 2010? I can't remember, because 2000...
Go look and see if there's a cup in your room.
11. would have been rewrite of Grumpy Old Prophets. 2012 would have been the other two of Grumpy Old Prophets. The last three of Grumpy Old Prophets. And then 2000... Oh, no, no, no. Amanda and the Schoolieberry Tree was in there. That's 2010 would have been Amanda and the Schoolieberry Tree. 2011 would have been the... I can't remember. Anyways, so that
was... You've written some
books. I've written some books, yeah. Big deal. Written some books. Of far more interest.
No,
people don't care. So...
Well, the people who listen to the podcast.
Yeah. All three of them. That's three of them.
This is your audience. You got to work to your audience here. Your audience is passionate about those books.
Oh, yeah. They're really passionate. Yeah. So, yeah, when Melissa Oladike was in town, she was wanting to know how to do a podcast and stuff. And so I went, I said, well, you do the podcast, and then you go out to Feedburner.
Well, start by listening to mine.
Yeah, so we go out to Feedburner. Do you know how many subscribers I have on Feedburner after 5 years of podcasts?
I don't know.
Two.
Five.
Hey!
Five.
Whoopa!
One for each year.
Hey, well, if you keep going,
I know. By the time I get to 100 years of podcasts, I'll have 100 subscribers, so it'll be great. But that's only part of what's going on in the last 5 years, because the more important part that's gone on in the last 5 years is there have been grandkids.
Yay!
Yay!
Added some complexion.
Complexity, definitely. There's just no complexity like
Clara
complexity.
What was that? So that in the last 5 years, then you would have been doing your, what was that, your little YouTube videos?
I was doing Good Morning Clara.
Good Morning Clara.
As soon as Clara was born, then I started doing Good Morning Claras, and I did that every day. And the biggest ever Good Morning Clara was April the 22nd, 2011, April the 22nd, 2011, that Good Morning Clara garnered 25,000 hits.
Really?
Yes.
I know which one it was.
25,000.
Was it the
haircut. Didn't have anything to do with Good Morning Clara. It was 40 seconds of me getting my head shaved. And people adding comments like, wow, you have a really good looking barber. Those mini clippers she's using.
Did that discourage you?
No,
like,
no.
I'm finished with it.
No, no. You know
all
me.
My words
you
of
just gotta find a niche. That's all you
That's
need.
Right.
You get a niche.
Maybe
and
if we just get Sarah Asher
driving
to
in some
give
high
me
heels.
A boat. Yeah, that's right.
Driving home, it's from the barber chair.
Yeah, from the barber chair. Uh oh, somebody's phone is going. But anyway,
let's all put our phones on silent.
Yes, because we're trying to do a podcast here. Yes. So, yeah, no, it was 40 seconds. 40. Oh, and the other comment was, those are some really nice mini clippers she's got there. I said, yeah, they work good. So, yeah, I got on somebody's list. Apparently, there's this list of people getting buzz cuts. Yes? And that's Clara singing. We like Clara singing. It's good.
Did you mention that after you got your head shaved that you skipped?
That's right. That Clara did not recognize me. I'm expecting that same reaction from Asher here in about 3 weeks because the next haircut...
So you've only gotten your haircut one time in the last 5 years?
Yeah, once.
Is that accurate?
Yes, because I was growing out.
No, I've got it cut a couple times. I got it cut right after Clara was born. That Easter after Clara was born, and then,
yeah,
and then I think when I turned 30.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I've cut my hair 260 times.
Yeah.
Since we started this podcast, in case anybody's listening.
In case anybody's keeping a tally. And we could ask my wife how many times she's colored her hair, but she's out of the room, and she would give me an evil stare.
Not so put on the podcast anyways.
So those were big events. And Alan, let's see, when we started the podcast, were you on staff at Praise Assembly as youth pastor?
Oh,
yeah?
He started there in 2007.
So. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. So
really, vocationally, and Liz and I were talking about this.
Uh-huh.
Vocationally, at least, nothing's changed.
Nothing.
I mean, Lynette has had more vocational
turnover.
Yes. I basically can't keep a job.
That's not what we're saying. What we're saying, actually, we were looking at it the other way. It's like, we're just bums. We don't, you know, we don't have any kind of...
Can't move around.
Yeah, so, but Liz is exactly the same type of situation vocationally. I'm the exact same situation vocationally.
Yeah.
I've changed slightly just in that I have an additional vocation.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That was a joke.
With the kiddos. But I am still just working part-time, 2 days a week, same, as I was 5 years ago.
I got it. I see it.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a time or two.
There was a skewer with a little splinter. Well, although I am technically in the same vocation... I have moved through many different phases.
Well, because you've had different bosses.
Yes, because in that, in 2009, I would have been working on the cash receipt system. And I've had multiple big projects since then. And in fact, I'm on the project now that is probably going to either take me through retirement or get me canned out of the Assemblies of God headquarters. One of the two. Because... either this thing is going to work like crazy and they're going to soak up my time for as long as I want, or because there's so much to do, or it's going to be a spectacular failure and I will have to leave with my head hung. I mean, this last one, when we signed on for it, I looked at both of the head bosses I'm going to be working for and I said, you know, this project gives me the willies. I said, this thing is so big.
Yeah, but maybe when it's all said and done, they'll build you a statue.
Maybe, I don't know. Thankfully, they looked at me and said, yeah, it scares us too. So I said, okay, that's fine. We'll just get in the wilderness and start looking for the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. So, you know, but Jesus will help us. And I have had a lot of meetings this week, and everybody does seem to be on board. So it's going to be... it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that all plays out. And it's been so fun and exciting to watch the kids.
The other big thing for Alan is his master's degree.
Oh, that's right.
That's been the last 5 years.
That's been the last 5 years, master's degree. Absolutely.
But, you know, as we were talking about it, and I don't know that, you know, I could say this blanket statement, but it sure seems at least that for us, the last 5 years has been 5 years of trudging.
The golden era is over.
One foot in front of the other and trudging on.
Yes. Doing some premarital counseling here, and no, and there's a book he was reading about it or something that he got, you know, Kindle book, and it showed a graph of general happiness.
Uh huh.
Course of your existence. It was not encouraging.
Let's just say it gets worse for us, but you're in good shape.
Yeah, I know. It really, you know, that is the amazing thing. I mean, there's the middle age years in there.
That's pretty much the best time after, you know, prior to marriage and first years of marriage.
Yeah, see, you thought I was joking. Back, that would have been when you all were in college, finishing up college? At one point, I looked at Liz and Alan and Midge and Aaron. Clara is having her own little party over there. So I looked at them and I said, this is a golden time for you all. I said, just remember, this is a golden time. And Alan looked at me and said, oh, don't say that. I said, no, you'll see, buddy. So when did the graph say that things started getting better?
Right, your time.
Right about our time. I'd have to absolutely agree.
Out, really. Once the kids move out into middle age, you know, into the...
Yeah. Well, and honestly, I think part of it is that you can... Look at you, buddy. Standing up. He's standing up and crawling over on top of me. So if I go, in a minute, that's what that
is. He's actually talking about me.
Yeah.
Hello, Joe.
Talking about Asher. Buddy boy.
Well, the other thing that's happened in the last 5 years is my parents moved here.
Oh, that's true.
We were trying to remember
about
when that happened.
It was
5 years ago the fall.
Okay.
Your parents have been married now for a while. But
so they moved in with you all when we were just moving out of the... No. That's not true.
Maybe 4 years
ago. We were 6 and 7 years ago.
Yeah. So we moved in.
Yeah, when did they move in with us? It was after the big crash.
They moved
It was prior to Clara, but it was not far prior to Clara. Because yeah. Liz went down to help with the rummage sale.
Right,
before that.
They moved here in February, so she was born in 2010, so it had been February 2010, so it was 4 years.
Okay.
Nope. Wait, they moved into Maranatha in February. No. They moved in with us, because they were with us over a winter, because it was cold.
That's right. So it was 2009.
Yeah.
I think like October-ish,
so I would have...
So that's a pretty big shift.
It is a pretty big shift.
Of course, John and Melissa got married, and John yes. and Melissa got
yeah.
married.
Yeah, like, we got cousins on both sides, or nephews, nieces and nephews and nieces-in-law, and now they're both having babies. The other big thing that has been going on is that I'm making the transition now to manage my parents' soft landing. You know, that I've been telling Ned, my wife, that... Okay, at this point, all we're trying to do with my parents is bring it in for a soft landing. So mom's short-term memory is completely gone at this point. And dad's doing okay, but we have interesting adventures. Like today I had to take him to the doctor because he had got new hearing aids that have little rubber plug things on the end, and he had pushed it into his ear so hard that when he pulled out the hearing aid, he had left the plug in there. And then it had started hurting. He said the whole side of his face was hurting. He said, those hearing aids make my ears hurt.
So now, of course, he wants new hearing aids.
Well, actually, we're in the process. The guy actually may swap us out for other hearing aids. Yeah, so maybe that's going to work out.
$50 hearing aids? That's really
well,
now, just some $50
well I actually ordered one of those personal amplifiers today for him. He didn't actually want to do those because it reminded him of the old men who used to wear them when he was growing up. And I looked at him and said, Dad, you're an old man.
Yeah. That's we're old now, too. I think that happened in the last 5 years.
Hot Fair was 90 years old. So
91.
91, that's right.
91. So, yes. So, it's been a very exciting 5 years. I was just going to check and see how long we've been rambling. So, one moment. Oh, 17 minutes. So, these are actually are only supposed to be about 20 minutes. So, we'll wrap up here.
Oh,
but,
well, we haven't even gotten any of the national type things.
Oh,
yes.
Do you care about the national type things?
It's really personal.
You know, I remember back in 2009, there was this uncertainty.
Yeah.
You know, what was going to happen? Where were we going to be?
Oh, right after the crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a lot of people, it was uncertainty.
We should just let the kids go first.
That's right.
We'll call it quits.
Just let the kids. And honestly, even to this point, I don't think we're back to the place that everybody has the kind of confidence that there was in the 90s or in the early 2000s. You know, there's just not yet. And I think we're all still trying to figure out what this new normal is. So...
Of course, 2009 also, I mean, you would have started 2 months after Obama was inaugurated.
Right, right.
First African-American.
Yeah, that was a big deal. We're getting into a little dispute back behind me here.
And of course, you know, if you'd invested $50 in Bitcoin.
Oh, man.
This is something I have prepared.
Oh.
I'm not doing this off the top of my head. Please, no.
Yes.
But... if you'd have invested $50 in Bitcoin, it would be worth $5.8 million.
Yes, it would have. Had I known about Bitcoins at the time, I might have. Uh-oh, we have a little dispute going in the background here. So when they're 18 and 15, we'll replay this tape for them and say, nothing's changed.
When they're 18 and 15 and Asher's bigger than them. Yeah. And she's the one going, no! Turn around and spare a play.
I'm trying to do it.
Well, you know, buddy. What do you know, buddy?
Okay.
Yes, Bitcoins. Bitcoins will be my bag of gems. There's no question about it. Because I started watching Bitcoins when they were like... $40.
Yeah, but you can always come up with bag of coins. You know,
bag of gems.
Bag of gems.
Bag of gems.
I don't think that in reality, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You know? And sometimes you try things and they work out, and sometimes you try things and they don't.
And then in 2009, you would have been a partner on 40 Acres. And
that's true. It's true.
Business partner living
well,
next to
you. Well, that's the other thing, of course.
Right.
That we've moved next door.
I know, and that's a really great thing about what has happened in the last 5 years. Yes. Is that Liz and Alan actually live next door to us now. And that...
Every time I explain that to anybody, they go... Really?
What? Really? You wanted that?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, you wanted me that? What?
I think normally it's the in-laws that move next door because you can't stop them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Oh, well. I heard the sound of my own laughter and I reminded myself of something that's happened in the last 5 years.
Yes?
We all took improv classes.
That's right. And Lizzie is part of an improv group now that does second Saturday of the month. But the other thing I was thinking about you all moving in here, there's been some really interesting things over the course of the years, things that have happened with this house, and without going into a lot of detail and sounding like I'm tooting my horn, there were actually things that I participated in helping getting fixed on this house that I had no idea that you all were going to be living in this house at some point. I mean, really major, you know, like getting the foundations fixed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I had no idea that things were going to turn around and you were going to end up here. And when it did, I went, oh, well, I guess it's a good thing we got those foundations fixed. So it's really interesting how acts of kindness revolve around and come back to revisit you. And that's been fascinating to watch all through my life, how acts of kindness can turn around and come back. So anyways, at this point, life is good. Net and I are climbing back up on the good side of the graph.
We are starting an adventure.
Yes. Well, and I do think that part of that is not only that we have some financial resources available to us, not only that we have grandkids ahead of us, but... since we're middle class, kind of like the defining moments of our lives that we look to is when do we get to retire and do what we want, you know? And that's actually within reach right now. Up on my board, I have 11.4. And that means 11 years, 4 months. And for some youngins, they'd say 11 years. Getting a little drummer working here. Some youngins, they'd say, 11 years, that's a long time. But when you've been alive for 55 years, 11 years just seems like...
not so much.
Yeah, that's like 3.75 haircuts. So, because I only get my haircut every 3 years. And that's my son, that's my grandson motorboating. And on that note, this is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.